Sota, Perek Tes, Mishnah Yud, 9:10. And the Mishnah continues to discuss various practices that stopped over time. Here we have several things that were instituted by Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Who he is not totally clear. He ostensibly served in the Beis HaMikdash early in Bayis Sheni, soon after Shimon HaTzadik. And he did a number of things. The first it says is Yochanan Kohen Gadol He'evir Hodayas HaMaser. He stopped the practice of what we call Vidui Maaser, the recital that one makes at the end of, on the last day of Pesach, on the fourth and seventh years of the Shemitah cycle, where one says he gave all of the tithes, Truma, Gadola, and Maaser, and the gift to the Levi, and so on, as he should have, and then requested Hashem respond in kind by blessing us. Now, part of that recital is, one says, Vegam Nasativ Lelevi. I also gave the Levi his portion, meaning Maaser Rishon. And Yochanan Kohen Gadol says, we can't say this. And the reason why is because when Ezra led the first big wave of Jews back to Eretz Yisrael in the very beginning of Bayis Sheni, so he struggled very much to get the Jews to come back to Eretz Yisrael. They had become, after 7 years of being in what had been Bavel and then later on became part of the Persian Empire, they were happily ensconced there in their way of life in the exile, in the Gullus, and they really weren't so keen on coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And especially resistant were the Levium. Ezra had a terrible time getting Levium to agree to come back to Eretz Yisrael. He needed Levium because Levium essentially functions, I'll call them like the part of the Beis HaMikdash to function properly, like they were like the rabbinic and, you know, religious leadership. So he needed them, but basically none wanted to come. Eventually he was able to get 38 Levium plus their families and servants and so on to join in the return back to Eretz Yisrael, but that was really a very bad showing. And Ezra felt that they, Levium, the Shevet Levi, really deserved censure for their really bad decision. So he said that Ezra said that the gift of Maaser Rishon, which the Torah gives to Levi, should not be given to them anymore as a punishment to them. Listen, effectively, in an agrarian society, agricultural society like you had in the Jews in that time, so, you know, basically everything was agricultural, and 10% of all your agricultural output is given to the Levium as like essentially a tax, right, to support the, I'll call them the religious leadership. And Ezra thought, listen, if these guys aren't acting like religious leaders and doing what they're supposed to do, so then we're not going to give them their tax, the Maaser Rishon. And so Ezra decreed that only the Kohanim can receive the Maaser Rishon instead. Now, remember, the Kohanim, of course, are members of Shevet Levi, so technically they are Levium, but that's not what the Torah had in mind. It meant Levium, as opposed to Kohanim, should get the Maaser Rishon. But the point is, they were suffering this penalty of not getting Maaser Rishon, and therefore, since the Jews weren't giving the Maaser Rishon to the Levium, says Yochanan Kohen Gadol, it's inappropriate for them to say an untrue sentence of Gam Nasatu Levi, I gave the portion to Levi, when in fact one didn't give it to Levi. So he stopped that from being said. Presumably prior to that, like from the time of Ezra onwards until Yochanan Kohen Gadol, so they must have felt, listen, since, there's a few pshatim here. One pshat is they must have felt, listen, the Kohanim are members of Levi and they're getting the Maaser Rishon, so that's within the bounds of being a true sentence, so they let it slide. But Yochanan Kohen Gadol said, no, we're not doing that anymore. Second, says the Mishnah, Afu bitel es ha-ma'orin ve'sa-nokfin. Two other things that he stopped were the practice of the ma'orim and the nokfin. Ma'orin means something like the waker-uppers. What was going on is the custom had become in the Beis HaMikdash that every day a Levi would be on the duchen and he would announce Ura Lama Sishan Hashem. It's a pasuk from Tehillim, which means something like, wake up, why should you be sleeping, Hashem? Now, that custom was put into place because the Jews in Bayis Rishon time faced all sorts of difficult things, and that became the practice, you know, as they were sort of under the thumb of the Babylonians, the Egyptians gave them a hard time, and so on. It was tough times. But Yochanan Kohen Gadol felt that, listen, now in Bayis Sheni, they had like a good amount of sort of autonomy. They weren't being persecuted by outside forces, really. And that being the case, it's really inappropriate. We have the pasuk says, everyone knows, Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan shemer Yisrael. the Hashem, who's the Garden of Israel, doesn't sleep or slumber. So certainly Hashem is not asleep, and people would misunderstand as if he were, so to speak, by this sort of like an accusation that's coming from Levium. Therefore, Yochanan Kohen Gadol felt that was inappropriate. Therefore, he stopped them from saying this pasuk. Those people who called them Orin. He also stopped the Nokfin. Now, Nokfin means either like sort of to hit or to slash, to cut. So exactly what was going on here, there's two pshatim in the Gemara. Both are kind of the same. The point is that when you bring a korban, so you have to shech the animal, and the animal has its instinct and makes it resists being slaughtered, and that could cause, you know, not only heart, it can cause it to be a treif and so on. It's not a simple situation. And therefore, they would somehow subdue the animal to make it easy to shecht it by being no kefit. So one shot and no kef is that they would essentially cut it on its, like called its forehead, letting blood drip into its eyes, which would disorient it, and then that would make it more easy to subdue and to shecht. The other shot is they would actually sort of like hit it on the head, striking it on the head, again, I guess, you know, knocking it to be, you know, disoriented, again, allowing them to get it to the ground and shecht it easily. The point is that to an onlooker, this doesn't look like a very good idea. It could look like that they're bringing animals that have a mum, even though like a superficial cut on the forehead, on the head, which does bleed a lot, but it's not actually a mum that would invalidate a korban, but it could look like it. People would think it's a mum. Or worse, if you're hitting it on the head proper, you could actually puncture the krum hamoach, like the membrane that surrounds the brain and the skull, and if you crack that, that does make it into a treifa, which would be invalid as a korban. So therefore, he said nothing of the sort. We're not doing that anymore. Instead, he installed these tabaot. I think they're quite well known. These rings that function there in the base of Mikdash, and there were 24 rings. So you could use the rings to restrain the animal so it could become a korban easily. And that he installed that. So the point is that he stopped the practice of nokfin. Further says the Mishnah, Ad Yamav Haya Patish Maket V'Yerushalayim. Until his days, you could hear hammers banging in Jerusalem. This is referring to Chol HaMoed. On Chol HaMoed, Malacha in general is forbidden. It's actually forbidden mid-Oraisa to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed. But there are a couple important exceptions to that. One exception is something that's for the Tzorach of the Moed. For the holiday itself, you're allowed to do whatever, you're allowed to cook and clean and wash and transport and whatever you're going to do to enjoy the Yom Tov. That's not a problem. And if something's broken, you could fix it if you needed it for the Moed. That's one thing. And second of all, if it's a Davar Aved, something which is like you're preventing a significant economic loss, you can also do that, even if it involves Malacha, on Chol HaMoed. The point is, these smiths, carpenters, whatever they were doing legitimate Tzorach Moed stuff. But the problem is, Yerushalayim in the air would ring out the noise of people banging hammers and so on. The whole of Klal Yisrael is there they're supposed to be there for the regalim, and this sort of ruins the spirit. It makes people think people are doing malacha on Chol HaMoed, that's forbidden malacha. And therefore he said, no, we're not doing that anymore in Jerusalem. There's no permission to bang hammers and do loud work, even if it would be otherwise permitted on Chol HaMoed, as like that kind of permitted labor. Still, he forbade it for the spirit of the Yom Tov, so people shouldn't think that people aren't taking Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed seriously. So that was that. And finally, Ubiyamav ein adam tzarich lishol al hadamai. In his days, people stopped needing to ask about damai. Now, I think probably what Yochanan Kohen Gadol is most famous for, I think, is what the Gemara here talks about, that it was in his time where the enactment of damai took place. It's all Maseches damai, and damai has to do with the issue of produce, which has been acquired from someone who maybe or maybe did not take the proper tithes. So the Gemara says that Yochanan Kohen Gadol essentially did some sort of like sociological survey. He sent people out to say, listen, go find out what the Amei Aretz are doing. What do people do? Do they take tithes properly or not? What he discovered was that most people did take tithes properly, but a significant minority, they didn't take Trumas Meiser. Trumas Meiser means essentially the portion that's the Levi is supposed to give to the Kohen. It's like the tenth of one's produce that goes to the Levi, a tenth of that goes to the Kohen as Trumas Meiser. Effectively, it's basically 1/100, 1% of the produce, basically. Now, what he found out is that the Amei Aretz were not separating Meiser Rishon. I'm thinking Hamotzi Mechaver Lavaraya, the burden is on the Levim to come get it, I'm not giving it. But so fine, then they're not giving the Maaser Rishon, but they thought incorrectly, many of them thought incorrectly, that they don't need to separate Trumas Maaser because anyways, that's the burden of the Levi, and they haven't given it to Levi in the first place. So therefore, their Trumas Maaser was embedded into their food. Now, that's unacceptable because there's a Misa B'dei Shemayim, premature death is the consequence of eating Trumas Maaser, like Truma Gedola, and therefore, it's a big problem. Now, until his time, people relied on the rov. The halach is, if you have a food supply with a mixture of sources for food, so you can rely on bitul barov, the majority. And since the majority of the farmers were tithing properly, so technically speaking, it was permitted to eat produce, even though some of it had Trumas Maaser. But he said no. He's making a rule, listen, people were afraid, some people were trusting the neighbors, some weren't trusting the neighbors, and so on and so forth. It was a very uncomfortable situation, then who knows what was going on, and therefore he said, no, new rules, anytime you purchase produce from anybody who hasn't committed formally to take tithes and everything he gets and makes and gives, so then you just have to take a new set of, I'll call them tithes, treating it as what's called domai, to make sure that what has to be removed is removed. So since he made a universal rule that everyone is treating all produce that comes from any source that isn't a totally reliable, formally committed, chaver, a person who's committed to taking tithes properly, you tithe it again, removing the Trumas Maaser out, and in years where there's also Maaser Sheni, so also it has to be redeemed onto a coin. So the point is that he enacted this rule of Demai, and after that, no need to ask anybody anymore, is your food, tithe or not? Because the rule was, regardless of that question, you have to tithe again. And therefore, the Mishnah says here, Uviyamav, in his days, Ein Adam Tzarich Lish'ol Al HaDemai, means, starting from his times, no reason to ask people about, is their food Demai or not? Because we treat all food from all people, except from the Chavirim, as being Demai, and then taking those separate tithes at Trumas Maaser all over again.